radiallahu anhu, that he relates his incident, that he says in the time of Jahiliyat, in the time of prehistoric in ignorance, before Nubuwat, then he saw the people that they were worshipping idols, the wrong that they were doing, and he felt in his heart that what they're doing is wrong. But obviously there was no deen at that time to show that what he's feeling in his heart is correct. Until such a time came, he said, when he was informed that there is a man in Makkah, that he's informing people of things that are different. So he would find out about this person, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then eventually he went on his setup on his animal, and he planned to go to Makkah Sharif, and he secretly planned to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But when he went there, before he met him, he noticed that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was giving dawat secretly. In other words, he couldn't openly give his message, and his own people were opposing him. In other words, he was working under very, very difficult circumstances to get the deen across, because his own family, his own people, own leaders, etc., were all opposing him. And slowly he was giving the message. So he secretly went and met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him these questions. That is, who are you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm a Nabi. Then he asked, what is a Nabi? And he explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me. Then he said, what are your teachings? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that Allah Pak has sent me bisilatir rahim, that I should join family ties. First thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Allah Pak has sent me to join family ties. And we mentioned that Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, he was a Jew at that time when he went to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Sharif. And he says that the first thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was afshu salam, at'imu ta'am, wasilul arham. Also one of the first things that he mentioned was that join family ties. Something that we take so lightly today. But from the beginning, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been encouraging people to join family ties, not to worship anybody and ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was commanded that he should break down the idols, obviously slowly, wasn't initially that immediately, but slowly, to get rid of idolatry in Makkah and Medina Sharif. So he said that, I want to be like you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are unable to be like me, or you cannot be like me right now because of my conditions. You can see the conditions. It would be very, very difficult. He wanted to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he wanted to be a Muslim and he wanted to practice Islam. So it was very difficult for him to do that. So he said, Nabi alayhi wa sallam told him, when you see me in dominance, when you see that now Allah Pak has given me some type of authority, then you come back. So he went and he continued finding out, inquiring. When a person is thirsty for deen, thirsty for Islam, thirsty for his reformation, then he'll continuously make an effort. He won't just leave it like that. So he says that, I found out from people going to Medina, until some of my family went to Medina Sharif. Then I found out from them, and then they told me that yes, there is this person, and he is inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his people want to kill him, but they are unable to. They are unable to get their ambition to obtain what they want to. And people are rushing and now thronging towards him. So then now he decides to set off and he goes to Medina Sharif. He meets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asks him, do you remember me? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remembers him. And then he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to teach him a few things. And yesterday we did. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, when he asked about salat, that perform your fajr salat, and after fajr salat don't read any other salat until the sun has risen above the horizon to the length of a spear. Therefore we also give some time for ishraq, then we read. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, don't perform it when the sun is rising, because now this is at the time when the sun is between the horns of shaitan, and the people that worship shaitan, they making sajda, because the people that worship the sun, etc., they pray at that time, at the time of sunrise to the sun. So we oppose them. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salam explained to him, when it comes to midday, that what we famously know as zawal, so at that time also don't perform any salat. And then when the sun is setting, don't perform any salat. So you perform your asr salat, and after asr, don't perform any salat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained to him about salat, then he asked about wudu. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him that when a person washes his hands, then all the sins committed by his hands, they fall off from his fingertips. And when he washes his face, then all the sins that the face, the nose, the mouth, etc. committed, all get washed out via the edges or the sides of the beard. And like that, when he washes, he makes masah, then all the sins committed by his head, that all those sins come out from the tips of the hair. And like that, when he washes his feet, then from the tips of the toes, all the gunas come out. So that was the last part that we did of this hadith. So now we come to the last portion of this hadith. The same Hazrat Amr ibn Abasa As-Sulami radiyallahu anhu, he's saying, فَحَدَّثْتُ عَمْرُ ibn Abasa بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَبَا أُمَامَ صَاحِبَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So he mentions that I told Abu Umama this whole incident of what happened. Abu Umama was another Sahabi, so he mentioned to him, I told Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu this incident. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَبُو أُمَامَ يَا عَمْرُ بْنُ عَبَسَ أُنْذُرْ مَا تَقُولُ. And then Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, he replied, he said, oh Amr ibn Abasa, said, be careful of what you are saying. أُنْذُرْ مَا تَقُولُ فِي مَقَامٍ وَاحِدٍ يُعْطَى هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. You mean to say one person in one place gets so much, he gets so much, Allah is willing to give a person so much that via his wuzu, he brings his wuzu water. When he's gargling, his sins are getting forgiven. When he's washing his face, his sins are forgiven. When he's washing his hands, his sins are forgiven. His feet is forgiven. And the last part, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that when a person performs his salah now and he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ought to be praised, then this person is like, he's washed off his sins completely, like the day his mother had given birth to him. So much of reward for wuzu and salat. So Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu anhu is cautioning him. He's saying, you mean a person will get so much of a reward in one place just for doing this? فَقَالَ عَمْرُ يَا أَبَا أُمَامَ. Hazrat Amr ibn Abasa radiallahu anhu, he replied to Hazrat Abu Umama, لَقَدْ كَبِرْتُ سِنِّي, that my age now, I'm gone senior, I'm gone very old. I'm very old in age now. وَرَقَّ عَظَمِي, and my bones also now are gone very weak. وَاقْتَرَبَ أَجَلِي, and my time to pass away is gone very close. In other words, he was very old when he was relating this hadith. So he said, my bones are weak, my age now is old, and my time is very close. وَمَا بِي حَاجَةٌ أَنْ أَكْذِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. I don't have any need that now at this point I must speak lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And I don't have any need to speak any lies against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba were very, very, very careful of attributing anything to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we find, we say, hey, this is a hadith, that is a hadith. We must be very careful. Imagine, yeah, he's quoting his personal life story he's giving and what he heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet another sahabi is cautioning him, be very careful of what you say. So then he says, لو لم أسمعه من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا مرة أو مرتين أو ثلاثا حتى عد سبع مرات. He said, had I not heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, two times, three times, he counted up till seven times that he heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا حَدَّثْتُ أَبَدًا بِهِ, I wouldn't have mentioned it ever. In other words, because I'm so sure that I heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not one time, he counted up to seven times, he said, I would have never mentioned it. وَلَكِنِّي سَمِعْتُهُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. However, I have heard it even more than seven times from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why I'm saying it. So this is an example for us. Let us be very careful of what we attribute to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in the social media age. Many a times you'll get people quoting different things about this hadith, and some hadiths look very peculiar. Very, very peculiar, some hadiths we never hear. So therefore we like other people to hear it, but we don't even realize that these are not the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Sahaba, personal incidents, a person is, and at the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba, as-Sahaba kulluhum udul, all of them were just, all of them were honest, but yet they would take the trouble of warning one another, be very careful. So how much more careful we have to be in this age when there's so much of fabrication, and when there's so much of false information that's going around, to ever attribute something to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we're 100% sure, no problem. But if we are in doubt, then better we find out, is this authentic? And then we should send it if we want to send it. Or thereafter, leave it to others that are more masters in hadith, for them to disseminate information as far as the hadith in Quran is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.